It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Do you ever have the feeling that food is stuck in your throat or that you have heartburn or burning pain in the chest? Well, it might be gastroesophageal reflux disease. My guest is Dr. Susan Lusak. She's a gastroenterologist and attending physician at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. So, Dr. Lusak, let's talk about GERD, because if left unattended or undiagnosed, it can lead to what, precancerous esophagitis. It can cause all kinds of problems. So speak about GERD a little bit, what it is and what we do about it.
Right. So it is also a very common problem in the United States. And the symptoms that people experience when they have acid reflux or gastroesophageal reflux disease is that they experience heartburn. They also experience kind of acidity going upward from the stomach up toward the neck, and they may have trouble swallowing. Those are the most common symptoms, but then there are others who may experience shortness of breath and even wheezing, because the acidity can get into the lungs and cause that, asthma-like symptoms. They can get trouble with hoarseness. And even chronic cough. So these are some of the symptoms of acid reflux or gastroesophageal reflux disease. It's a syndrome where people sometimes think that it's because they had a large meal that they are having these symptoms. But if the symptoms occur more than twice a week, then that can be something that should be treated. We oftentimes find inflammation in the lower part of the esophagus, and if the inflammation is persisting for many months or even years, it can lead to a precancerous condition called Barrett's esophagus, where there are intestinal cells growing in the esophagus, and that also predisposes people potentially to esophageal cancer. So if untreated, very rarely, it can lead to esophageal cancer.
So if people are experiencing these symptoms, again, we go into our doctor, they're giving us tests and diagnoses, maybe an endoscopy is what's required, and you're checking for Barrett's and various things. Now, treatment-wise, a lot in the news lately, Dr. Lusak, has been that antacids, which neutralize stomach acid, are just the opposite of what we should be doing, because antacid, we need the acid that's in our stomach to digest our food. So, right. You know, and they're suggesting regulating the pH instead with vinegar or, you know, something along the... What do you think about that?
Well, so I think that treatments certainly have side effects, And so when we reduce acidity in the stomach, it means that the gastric juices that are then backing up into the esophagus are less caustic, they are less irritating, and they induce less inflammation. So we have treated the condition by reducing acidity with medications such as what are called proton pump inhibitors, which include medications such as omeprazole, Prevacid, Prilosec, and so on. We have also used over-the-counter medications, such as they're called histamine 2 blockers, such as Zantac, such as Pepcid. But particularly with the proton pump inhibitors, such as Prilosec or omeprazole, if they are used long-term, they can lead to certain problems. You mentioned not digesting certain foods, but they lead to problems with bone metabolism. These are individuals who have later on developed hip fractures. This treatment has been also associated with predisposition to pneumonia or to an intestinal infection called Clostridium difficile infection. And these are problems that certainly can result when people are on long-term treatments on this medication. But there are things that can be done that may not require even taking some of these medications, such as not eating late at night before going to bed, not eating 2 to 3 hours before going to bed, because when we lie down and the stomach is full, the acidity is more likely to back up into the esophagus and cause irritation there. Not eating in between meals, avoiding certain foods that loosen the sphincter between the esophagus and the stomach, such as peppermint or chocolate or alcohol. If people are overweight, even losing 10 to 20 pounds can really have a significant effect, that there is less abdominal pressure, again, pushing up the esophagus, pushing up the acid up into the esophagus. Elevating the head of the bed. All of these measures, they are physical measures that help to keep the acidity in the stomach and prevent it from going upward into the esophagus, where the acidity causes irritation.
Well, I love that you pointed out elevating the head of your bed, because even when my little baby had, you know, reflux as a baby, we had to do that, and not lying down right after your meal or avoiding triggers for heartburn. But how does somebody know the difference? I mean, because everyone experiences a little heartburn at some time, Dr. Lusick.
Right.
So
right.
When is it that you've got heartburn that you say, you know what, I don't want to be at risk for Barrett's, or, you know, take all these medications and cause C. diff and all these things? And when does it send you to the doctor?
When the symptoms occur about once a week or so, then I think this. Then it's occasional symptom. It is something that can perhaps be ignored. But when it occurs more than twice a week on kind of consistent basis, that people feel, you know, I had several episodes last week and I have it this week and I have been having it for several weeks, then it means that this is a persistent problem. That it's not going away. It's not once in a while, every couple of weeks or every couple of months. When it occurs on a weekly basis, more than twice per week, then it's something that may require attention, go to your doctor, get evaluated, and get treated. Generally, we approach the treatment by starting patients on a treatment for about 2 to 3 months, and then we stop it and see if the symptoms return. If the symptoms return, then an endoscopy may be required. But if the symptoms go away, which oftentimes they do, then intermittent treatment may be appropriate. But if it comes, if the symptoms recur quickly within 3 months, then endoscopy would be appropriate. And of course, endoscopy would be appropriate if somebody has trouble swallowing, if they have any evidence of bleeding, if they are losing weight, or if they are vomiting. All of these symptoms obviously show that this may be more severe problem or more serious problem, and then the endoscopy would be performed earlier.
Now, when I asked you about vinegar, how do you feel about that, regulating the pH? Because I've seen people drink Maalox like it's water.
Right.
You know, and they just guzzle that stuff. But what about regulating the pH?
I have seen some of this over the counter. I have seen this in the LA press. I have to say that I have not seen good studies looking at this specifically, comparing it in a kind of a way where we perhaps use a placebo effect, or where we can really kind of say that the vinegar is really helpful. So I can't really comment on it, because I have not seen really good studies comparing being on vinegar versus off.
Okay, in 10 seconds, Dr. Lusick, your best advice for GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease.
I think that first, lead a good lifestyle. Don't eat late at night, at least 2 to 3 hours before going to sleep. Eat 3 meals a day. And if you try over-the-counter medications, try them for a couple of weeks. But if the symptoms recur, go and see your doctor.
This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD. Stay well.